We continue the Shir in Gemara. The Gemara says, discussing the time of creation, specifically the sixth day of creation, the creation of Adam HaRishon. The Gemara says, in this creation consisted of two parts, of course, the physical and the spiritual. There is the guf, the body, and the neshama. Of course, Hashem injected the neshama into the body after the body was completed. How about the physical part? A physical body that was not born through the process of reproduction, not born from other humans. How was this physical body formed? Especially since it was not a gradual process as the regular birth of a child, of an infant. Adam HaRishon was created physically complete, the Midrash says, like a 20-year-old man. How was this done? The Gemara says that physically Hashem collected the earth from all over the world. We say he was made from dust, from earth, plus the other elements, but the element of earth, where did that come from? Hashem took part of the dust from all over the world to show that man is made to rule over the entire world, and therefore he is composed of earth from all over the world. Now, we say all over the world, the Gemara explains this further. The body, that is the internal part of the body, came from Bavel, the earth of Bavel. The head came from the earth of the land of Israel. Now, the exterior organs came from other lands, you know, the rest of the lands of the world. Now, why the head from the land of Israel? It's understood, because the head is the most important part. The head, the brain, the wisdom in the head, the place where the neshama rests, mainly we say the neshama shemamechi, the neshama that is in the person's brain, primarily. And since the brain is the seat of wisdom, Eretz Yisrael is too the seat of wisdom of the world. The Gemara says that the air of Eretz Yisrael makes a person wise just by breathing it. And therefore, it was fit that since Chachma comes from Eretz Yisrael, so the part, the head, the brain of Adam HaRishon should come from the earth of Eretz Yisrael. The body, interior organs, like the heart, for example, should come from that part of the world which is next in wisdom to Eretz Yisrael, and that was Bavel, and so we have the Gemara was composed, Talmud Bavli. The rest of the organs that are secondary, they are just servants to the main parts of the body, they come from all over the world. This was the order of creation. Now the Gemara goes in to explain the actual creation itself. Let's get the chronological order. First, 5 days, Hashem created the world, a gradual process, till everything was completed. The sixth day early, apparently. The day, of course, begins at sundown, which means Thursday night, Friday began. So on Thursday night, Friday began. First thing created then were the animals. The animals and wild beasts were created on Friday early, which means the evening, the night, the a.m. part of Friday. Last item to be created was the most important one, Adam himself. Adam, the first man, he was the prime reason for all of creation. The whole world was created because of him. He was left to the end. Now, his creation was a very slow process. Gemara says to show Hashem, of course, could create everything in 1 second, less than a second, one word. But to show the fact that Adam was outstanding, that he was the most precious part of creation, therefore his creation was done slowly. Now the day officially the misles. That means the entire day is divided into day and night. Or, in the Hebrew order, it's night and day. The day part of it, officially, begins at 6 a.m. We call night 12 hours and day 12 hours. So we use it from, we consider it starting at 6 p.m. for the evening of the night. The night ends at 6 a.m. The day's 12 hours begin at 6 a.m. and end at 6 p.m. This, of course, is during the normal day, which means when day and night are of the same length, which means, again, during the month of Nisan and Tishrei, when they are both approximately the same. Summer months, winter months, there is a difference. The nights are longer in the winter, the days are longer in the summer. So now the Gemara considers the day's length 12 hours and tells what transpired on this sixth day of creation, this Friday. Friday morning at 6 a.m. began the creation of Adam HaRishon. At that moment, at 6 a.m., the earth was gathered by Hashem from Eretz Yisrael, from Bavel, from the rest of the world, piled up, ready to prepare to form a human being. An hour later, 7 a.m., began the work of making this into a form, putting it together, forming a golem. A golem means a body, of course, without life in it yet, but at least the outside form, or one solid piece, one long piece, the approximate length of Adam. Third hour, that was the second hour. The third hour now, which means at 8 a.m., the division of the organs, the arms, the legs, the features, were all carved out in this golem. At 9 o'clock, which means the beginning of the fourth hour, Hashem injected the soul into this body. He blew the soul of life into this body. That was at 9. And at 10, finally, Adam HaRishon stood up on his feet, came to complete life. At 11 o'clock, Hashem brought all the animals before Adam HaRishon for him to give them names, to call them names. Whatever he called them, that remained their name. And of course, this meant a lot because there is very much in a name. Zohar Kodesh Yerizal, Abenazal speaks about the fact that if a person would know the Kedusha, the holiness, the depth of the letters of the Torah, he would be able to have the insight to take the word Ari, for example. Ari means a lion. And in the word Ari alone, just that word alone, the letters, the three letters of Ari, be able to recognize the entire form, the nature, all the characteristics of a lion, just by those three Hebrew letters, and so with every other word. And that's why it was so important for Adam HaRishon to select these names for the animals, since he had this depth, this knowledge, that was so far superior to all angels that existed then. This was done at the beginning of the sixth hour, beginning of the sixth, which means 11 o'clock, 11 a.m. At 12, which means at high noon, he was mated with Chava, his wife. This was an official wedding ceremony. Hashem was the marriage performer. He brought them together, and so they were married at high noon, at 12 noon on Friday. Now, 1 hour later, they were officially mated. And in that hour, Chava gave birth to twins. In the same hour. In other words, that first birth did not take 9 months of pregnancy or any length of time. First birth was within the same hour. How close within the hour is difficult to say. It might have been within minutes. But it is known definitely that within that hour, between the hour of 1 and 2 p.m., the entire process took place, the pregnancy and the birth. So that they now had two children. Those two children were, of course, a boy and a girl, the first births recorded in history. Later on, they had more children. First births were Cain and his twin sister. Torah says, Vatosef Laledus. Later on, the younger son, Hevel, was born also with twin sisters. We once went through that entire discussion about the reason, major reason that Cain killed Hevel was because of the jealousy over the additional twin sister of Hevel. And all the ensuing history that followed because of that act up to the time of Moshe Rabbeinu when finally this was corrected. Now, at this time, though, we're speaking only about that first day. In that first day, there was only one birth, the birth of twins, the first birth recorded, Cain and his sister, and that was at 1 p.m. At 2 p.m., we say 1 p.m., of course, you mean that hour. That's the eighth hour of the day, which means 1 p.m., or from 1 to 2 p.m. The ninth hour of the day, which means 2 o'clock, is when they received the command from Hashem not to eat from the tree of wisdom. 1 hour later, they broke this command. They transgressed upon the first mitzvah given to them. That was at 3 p.m. At 4 p.m., they were brought to trial before Hashem. And at 12th hour, at 5, between 5 and 6, that means the end of that day, they were driven out of Gan Eden. They were created in Gan Eden. Because of this act of eating from the tree of wisdom, they were driven out and sent to earth. This is the chronological order of the sixth day of creation. What occurred in those few hours? This is what the Pasuk says, Odom Bikor Bal Yolid. You can understand this Pasuk in Tillim. Odom Bikor does not mean a person, it means Adam, Adam himself, Adam Arishon. Bikor, Kor means something which is very high, very precious, very priceless, which refers to Gan Eden. Adam was in Gan Eden. He spent a day there. Adam Bikor, one day, Bal Yolin, he could not spend the night there. He was not there even for the first night. The very same day, he was driven out of Gan Eden. And this was due to the fact that he disobeyed the first mitzvah given to him. Now, the Gemara adds to this, a person, just like Adam, was... Just as Adam was created, B'Tselem B'Dmus Elokim, Kaviyachol, in the form of Hashem, this refers to the spirit, the soul. But the body is supposed to reflect this heavenly spirit. Just as the eyes are the mirror of the soul, a person's body or a person's actions are supposed to show that he is composed of, or he contains this heavenly spirit. And therefore Hashem said to Adam, or to man, that you shall rule over all living things. You shall be master over everything alive. If so, how come that a person walks into a jungle or into a forest, he's attacked by wild animals? How do these wild animals dare to attack their superior, their master? The Gemara says that no animal, no wild beast will ever attack a human unless that human appears to the eyes of that wild animal as an animal too. Only then will he ever attack a human being. If a person, a human, retains the identity which is given to him rightfully, the time of creation, or the time of his birth, which is the Tselem Elokim, the heavenly form of Hashem, he keeps that holy and sacred, then he need fear no animal, because they will not see him as an animal, but as a heavenly figure, one who is superior to them, and one that they will fear and respect. And with this, of course, we can understand how Daniel, the story of Daniel, who was thrown into the lion's den by the king, and how he stood there safely among these hungry lions without any fear, and with the lions cowering before him, afraid of him, accepting him as their master. This is because Daniel was so pure and so holy a tzaddik, the holiest tzaddik of his time, that to these animals, to these lions, he did not appear as an animal, but as a true person with the form of Hashem, his face showing that radiance of a heavenly being. And therefore, the animals were filled with fear and respect for him. Of course, it would not be, there'd be no question, or no logic in the question, of how can we have today people who are very far from religion, very far from purity, spiritually, and yet they walk into a cage full of lions and tigers without fear, and they rule over these lions and tigers, these present-day lion tamers, animal trainers, can stand in a cage of lions safely, while any other person in the audience would be devoured by them instantly. How come that these people who have, surely have no tzelem lekim, nothing pure about them spiritually, and yet these lions are so afraid of them, or fear them, or respect them, or will not do any harm to them? The answer very simply is, that let these same humans, these same trainers, walk into a different group, a group or even an individual lion, face one that he has not trained himself, and see if he will fare as well as he does with those he has trained. The same thing as taking a trained parrot and having him repeat certain words. It's no trick. There's nothing unusual about that. Try to take a parrot who has never been among civilized people and ask him to repeat the Declaration of Independence or some other prepared speech. See what happens then. And therefore, there is no one that truly can inject a fear into animals except that one who has fully retained the tzelem elokim, the form of Hashem, the pure spiritual form. And this, of course, was the case of Daniel, the case of a select few great tzaddikim who feared no animals, feared no type of life except Hashem himself. Even greater than animal life, stronger, more powerful, and more dangerous is the Shadim type of spirits who have superhuman strength and superhuman powers. And they too fear and respect a tzaddik. We find the case of Shlomo HaMelech, who ruled over Elyonim v'Tachtonim. He ruled over all life on earth, including animals and birds, whose language he spoke. And also the Elyonim means the upper world, meaning the spirits, the Shadim, the Mazikim, who were all subservient to him. Case two of rabbis in the Gemara, where illustrations are given, stories are told of how they ruled over these Shadim, these spirits. So we see that there is something greater even than the power of animals, and yet nothing can compare to the true Tzelem Elokim, the Tzaddik Emes who rules over all. We go still further. The Gemara says in the words of Hashem himself, and this is a very touching point, where Hashem says, I am the supreme ruler. I rule over all, every part, every living being, everything that exists. I rule supreme. But, Hashem says, who rules over me? Hashem himself answers, Tzadik Moshe B'Yiras Elokim. I accept a tzaddik, one who is complete and perfect, implicit in his loyalty to Hashem. I accept him as a ruler over me. This is part of the kaviyachol, a display of humbleness on the part of Hashem kaviyachol, who says that whatever a tzaddik says, whatever he orders, whatever he decrees, I shall fulfill. So there are times when Hashem issues a decree in heaven, a harsh decree. The tefillah, the prayer of a tzaddik, can nullify that decree. There are times when a tzaddik issues a decree, and heaven fulfills that decree instantly. Now the Gemara goes further to say that at the time of creation itself, before Adam HaRishon was created, there was an assembly, a meeting in heaven. An interesting meeting where Hashem spoke to the groups of angels in heaven. And he said to them, again, out of humbleness, Na'aseh Adam, let us create a person. Let us create a human being. Of course, Hashem did it himself. He didn't need their assistance, he didn't need their advice. But Hashem did this to show, to display a humbleness for future generations to know. That even if you are a leader, if you are a judge, then seek the advice of others. Do not consider yourself haughty or all-powerful or needing no assistance and advice. So Hashem turned to these angels and said, what is your advice? Let us, shall we create a person? And the first group of angels Hashem turned to replied, Hashem, what are the deeds, the actions of this person? And Hashem said, this person will perform mitzvahs. He will also commit sins. So the malachim, the angel said to Hashem, what is this necessary for? There's no necessity to even think about creating a person. The Gemara says that Hashem, kaviyachol. Kaviyachol means as though we could use the expression. We use it only so that we can understand the term, the incident, but this is not meant, chas v'shalom, literally or physically. Hashem placed his finger among them and consumed them with this fire. Second group of angels was asked by Hashem, what's your opinion? And they replied the same as the first. No necessity. There's no reason to create a person. Of course, to understand a little clearer, why did Hashem ask them in the first place? And why did they deserve destruction through fire? The answer is that Hashem asked them to find out if they would be envious, jealous of a human who would be far inferior to them physically, but who could rise spiritually to much greater heights than an angel. An angel is stationary. He's very great, very holy, but he cannot advance himself, whereas a human being can become a tzaddik and go far above the status of an angel when he reaches heaven. So his question was, will you be jealous of him? Now the angels, instead of replying to Hashem that if this is your will, if it is your will, even if we might disagree, then you should create him anyhow. Instead, they replied with an arrogance, what necessity is there that man be created? Therefore, they deserved this destruction. The third group of angels that Hashem asked replied to Hashem, the first groups that replied, that gave their reply to you, what good did it do them? We're not that foolish. We see what the result of that was. And therefore we say, the world is yours, Hashem. Whatever you wish, you wish to do in your world, do so. We agree. It's obviously your wish to create a person. We agree. Now, later on, the time came, later generation, the generation of the flood, generation of the Tower of Babel, then these angels said to Hashem, doesn't it seem that the first groups of angels who wanted to reject this idea were proven right in this? Hashem said, The words V'ad zikna anihu V'ad seva aniasbo. Until old age, I will tolerate and I will bear this. What is meant by old age? Kaviyachol. The Gemara says that at Matan Torah, the time when the Torah is given Har Sinai, then Hashem appeared in the form of a zaken, old sage, giving the Torah. Kaviyachol. Which of course means the entire Kedusha of the 10 Sphiros and so on, revealed it. What Hashem's answer was that it is true that man has committed sins, but it is worth it. It is worth going through this creation because the goal of creation itself, the tachlis, is receiving of the Torah by the Jews. It's worth going through these bitter times until we get to Mount Sinai, the Har Sinai, the Matan Torah, because then the culmination of creation will have been reached. Reach the tachlis, that goal, where the Torah is there, then the Torah cannot be, the study of the Torah cannot be wiped out by sins. The Gemara says that a person committing sin, a sin can erase a mitzvah. Even the best mitzvah being done can be wiped out through a sin. But the study of Torah cannot be wiped out through a sin. The mitzvah of Torah is so great that even the worst sin cannot erase it. And therefore, Hashem said it is worth going through all this to have these troubles, these trials, the suffering of man on earth, the rebelling by man against Hashem, as long as we have the Torah, which will bring out, bring forth a nation of people who study Torah, and thereby to reveal the great tzaddikim for whose sake it is worth creating the entire world. In fact, the purpose of the world was even creation. It was worth it even for one single person. Tzaddik yisod olam. A tzaddik is the foundation of the world. Foundation meaning that this is the purpose of creation. Hashem is satisfied to have even one single tzaddik. For that one tzaddik, it is worth having created the entire universe, meaning too, the heavens, the angels, the angelic world, all, for the sake of that one tzaddik. And surely so if there are more tzaddikim in the world and students of tzaddikim. Now this is the story, and the Mefarsh and the commentaries relate a different story in the Medrash that is similar, trying to show the comparison between these two stories, or try to combine the two stories as one. Mashor says, Medrash tells us that at the time of creation, Hashem asked the different groups of angels as to what their opinion is the creation of man. One group called Chesed, Chesed is kindness, Chesed Omer Yivra, or Yibore. Chesed said, let man be created. The quality of kindness said, let man be created. Because man will do good deeds, and therefore kindness will exist in this world. The quality of emes, truth, said man should not be created because he is filled with lies, untruths, fraud, deceit. And therefore, truth said man should not be created. Tzedek, quality of tzedek, that's righteousness, charity, said let man be created because he gives charity. And shalom, the quality of peace, said, let man not be created because he is filled with jealousy, with argument, with disputes, with wars and battles. Let him not be created. Now it's obvious that it would seem obvious, Hashem says that these two, emes and shalom, truth and peace, who said, let man not be created, would be these two mentioned in the Gemara. The first two groups who said, let man not be created, and then they were destroyed. So what is meant by being destroyed? Hashem overpowered them with his quality of chesed, of kindness. Hashem did create Adam, showing that he followed the quality, the characteristic of chesed, of kindness. With this, he overcame these two groups that objected, truth and peace. And so we see the parallel between these two stories. This is the one interpretation showing the comparison or joining both. The second story brought in the Midrash would rate much deeper comment or delving into. Let's take the interpretation of Rav Nosson Zal, who brings this story too in the Likutei Halachos, goes into it in detail. Nosson Zal says, let's take the story first more in its detail as brought in the Midrash. Hashem said to the angels, shall man be created? And Emes said, was first to speak up and said, no, man should not be created. The Midrash says, and Hashem took Emes, this quality of Emes, and the Hishlich Emes Artso. He threw Emes to the ground, smashed it to the ground. And the angels in heaven said to Hashem, they were horrified, Hashem, how do you take something which is your seal, the symbol of Hashem, truth, Emes, Hashem Elokechem Emes, this is the seal of Hashem, Chosomo Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. How do you take your seal and smash it to the ground? And Hashem replied, right, let Emes be elevated, let it be raised up. And so Emes was brought up, elevated, brought back to its high position, as the Pasuk says, Emes me eretz titzmoch, Emes shall blossom forth from the ground. The first letters of those three words too are Emes. This is what the Midrash says. And this, Rav Nosson Zal asks two questions. First, since Emes is the seal of Hashem, then how is it possible that Hashem should take his own seal and smash it to the ground? Why throw away his own seal? If that is the most precious item, quality, characteristic by Hashem, why should he throw this away? And secondly, how could this be the seal of Hashem? How could this really be Emes truth, if truth means something which is true? And yet this quality of Emes spoke up something which is not true. This Emes said man shall not be created, and that was not true. So why is this called Emes? It turned out to be false. The answer is that Emes is one. The Beis Hamikdash explains that always the word Emes is one, just as Hashem is one, Hashem Echad, so is Emes one. We recognize Emes only as one, and Sheker as a lot, many. For example, something which is gold, pure gold, if you say this item is gold, then it's true. But that's the only thing you can say about it. If you say it is silver or wood or platinum or any other item, it is false. There are a lot of things you can say about this thing which are false. Emes is only one. Take a number, the number, one thing, if this number is three, let us say, then three is a truthful number. Anything else is false. So Sheker is harbe, there's a lot of falsehoods, Emes is only one. Yet, Rav Nosson Zal says, though Emes is one, there are still different degrees in Emes itself. Because there is Emes, ordinary Emes, and then there is Emes la'amito, which means an Emes that is so pure, the extreme, the final point of Emes, where it is so purified that from beginning to end, Rosh Toch Sof. This is the word Emes is the first letter of the Aleph Beis, then the middle letter, Tuf, the last letter. From beginning to end, this item is pure in truth. What is the difference between ordinary truth and an Emes that is completely pure, Emes la'amito, the truth of the truth? The difference is that there are many people claim that they battle for truth. that they mean for the sake of sincerity. They mean to do things that are pure, and their motive is a true one. And yet these people come out, the result is they do things that are wrong. For example, we have the machlokas battles among the Jews themselves. In all generations, you've had the attacks by Jew upon Jew. I'm speaking about those Jews who claim that they were the truth. The brothers of Yosef HaTzadik were all very holy and said that they mean the truth. The truth is that Yosef HaTzadik has committed wrong. He has spoken Lashon Hara. He has done things that are wrong, and therefore, for the sake of truth, he must be eliminated. He must be sold or killed. In later generations, too, much later, we find that there were always attacks by one group of Jews upon another. And in all these cases, we're speaking about superior types, very religious, very pure, great leaders who attacked another Jew. The time, let's say even recently, the time of the Baal Shem Tov, you had all the leading rabbis of the Shulchan Aruch, all pure, all holy, all who never committed a sin in their lives, obviously, who spent their days and nights immersed in the study of Torah and prayer, and tefillah. And yet they banded together to place a cherem upon the Baal Shem Tov, who was the holiest tzaddik at that time. Their motive was truth. They felt that they were right. Baal Shem Tov was committing an error, doing things in a wrong manner, going along with the path of Hasidus, which they felt was wrong. They were going, carrying the banner of Emes, yet this Emes was not pure. Now, how do we identify an Emes that is La'amita? An Emes itself, just truth itself, is not really truth until this Emes is proven true. For example, a very simple illustration. The Gemara says that the word good, the word light, is meaningless. You cannot have good. You cannot create good. You cannot create light. There's no such thing as light itself, per se. The only way you can recognize light is if you have darkness. You can recognize good if you have bad or evil. You can recognize sweet if there is bitter. Light itself has no meaning. Good has no meaning except in relation with something else. And therefore, too, truth could have no meaning unless there is the opposite from which we can recognize the truth. And this truth must be compared with the other. Must be compared, must be immersed in the lies, in the sheker, and come out of all this sheker, these falsehoods, to shine forth as pure truth. And that is why what actually happened was that in heaven, meaning of this statement, Emes came forth and said, man should not be created. Why? Because man is full of lies. I cannot tolerate lies. I am pure truth. And Hashem said, this is not the real truth. The real truth is one that goes down to earth and there on earth suffers and goes through all the trials and tribulations that a person must go through. And then to come out pure, then we find the real truth. A tzaddik is one, not who is in heaven. A tzaddik is one who goes down to earth and lives among Rishoyim and proves himself that he's a tzaddik. And so therefore Hashem said, throw this emes down to earth. Hishlech emes artsa. Down to earth must this truth go. There to become purified. There to prove itself. Then Hashem said, now raise this emes upwards. Now that it has been on earth, it has purified itself, it has proven itself, this is the emes that I mean. We find too that among people who claim they have the truth, there is this truth which is impure. Even when it seems pure, you have to know how to select the truth. A person would say, for example, to a second Jew, or to himself, you have committed a sin. You have done wrong in the eyes of Hashem. You deserve punishment. You deserve being expelled. You deserve expulsion. You deserve to be ostracized because you're not wanted. You have rebelled. You've disobeyed. You've desecrated the holiness of Hashem. Now those words are true, but that's not the truth that Hashem wants. Hashem wants a truth that can exist on earth, which means there's a more important truth than that. It is true that a person has committed sins. It is true that he has done evil. He has turned away from Hashem. But a more important truth is the final statement. You have committed sins, you have committed evil, but you can't come back. You are welcome back. Much greater ahava, much greater devotion than ever before. If you return as a Baal Tshuva, you'll be considered greater than a tzaddik who never committed a sin at all. This is the important truth that a person must develop while on earth, and only when he's immersed, when he's submerged in the depth of Tumah. Because from this low degree of Tumah, a person has fallen so far down, so far away from Hashem, into the black, bottomless pit of Tumah and sin, they can rise forth with a new life, a new radiance, a new purity that is far superior to anything that existed pure all along. Because this is the Emes Lamito. Now, if we can get this in very briefly, Agav Nosadal says the reason that Hashem threw Emes down, not Shalom, peace also said man should not be created. Why did Hashem not touch peace? Because peace said man is good, but when it comes to battles, to machlokas, to arguments, then man is no good, because there must be peace even when there are troubles, even when there are sins committed. A person should look for the good and not the bad. That kind of peace is the true peace. That's what Hashem wanted. Go to one more explanation. We might go over time with this, but it's worth it. Just a slight touch, and don't be frightened, because we're putting it in a very simple form, a slight touch of Kabbalah, very lightly. Most of you know this clearly. For those who are new in this, we'll make it so elementary that you can understand it, you and even much lower, much less knowledge than you have can understand this too. There are 10 spheros. You will not enter those at all. The different levels of holiness. We'll take only 3. First, second, and third, chesed, which means kindness. Second is gevura, that's harshness, power. The third is teferes, which is beauty. Now, these refer to qualities in heaven, and very briefly, they refer also to, for example, the qualities of the three fathers of the Jews. Abraham was called Isha Chesed, of kindness. Yitzchak, Pachad Yitzchak, harshness, din, judgment. And Yaakov was the combination of both qualities, therefore he's called Teferes Yaakov, beauty. Yaakov is also called Emes, Titen Emes the Yaakov. So we see that Teferes, the beauty of these two, the combination, good side, good, and strength, when you combine these into beauty, this is Yaakov, and the Gemara says this, Shufredi Yaakov, mayin Shufredi Adam, that Yaakov's beauty comes from the beauty of Adam Arishon. Adam possessed the first beauty. What beauty? This heavenly beauty, the combination of these two spheres. And Yaakov came and had the same, he inherited this beauty from Adam Arishon. The Zohar Kodesh says that then we had Moshe Rabbeinu too, continuing on this beauty. And there's a Kabbalah word called Ze'er Ampin. You might hear that word many times. You now know what it stands for. It stands for this Tiferes, this combination, this which entails, comprises the different types of these spheres, different qualities. Now this Emes, which means Yaakov, which means Adam, which means the male. There is Adam and there is Chava. So the male is Adam, is Emes, but this male is not complete. Lo tov hayos Adam levado. Hashem says Adam is nothing. He is no good if he is alone. When is he good? Es elo ezer kenegdo. I shall create for him a helpmate, an ezer. When he has this ezer, then he is perfect. When he has this helpmate, this mate, this wife, he'll be perfect then. And so he created Chava, who was his ezer, who was called the Nukvah.